Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, I'm Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. And today we're talking about the goddess and how we can transform ourselves and the world through imbuing ourselves with her essence. I think we're all aware we're in a huge change on our planet and we have to do things differently in order to survive. And many feel that means bringing the feminine principles forward into our societal structures. For too long, women have felt they have had to adopt the masculine values in order to make it in the world, particularly in the workplace. And we don't value the importance of our own feminine gifts, nor do we fully know that they're necessary to make the shifts we need today towards the sustainability we're all looking for. So my guest today has a personal relationship with the goddess that has brought new meaning to how we can bring it forward into our personal and professional lives. And today is my honor to have my guest, Dorothy Atala. And it was my privilege to meet her. She was at our conference last year at Women of Wisdom. And I also was able to write a testimonial for her lovely book, Conversations with the Goddess, Encounter at Petra, Place of Power. And Dorothy's life changed through an experience one day when she laid down on her floor to relax and had a vision of a radiant and beneficent female presence. And this vision led to other encounters and conversations with this female presence. It took her a while to realize how this connected to a trip she had made to Petra in Jordan several years earlier. So now we're able to journey on this adventure as well and discover the wisdom of the goddess through her book, Conversations with the Goddess, Encounter at Petra, Place of Power. And through her conversations, Dorothy empowers women to remember and embrace their divine feminine selves and transcend to a deeper level of what it means to be in touch with the goddess. And Dorothy offers a rich tapestry of history interwoven with the future, one that gives us hope for our planet and our personal evolution. And Dorothy also has a blog where she often writes about divine feminine, and you can read that and look at her website at www.conversationswiththegoddess.net. So welcome, Dorothy, to Voices of Women.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's good to hear your voice again. It's been a while.
Yes. So I find it interesting that you had this experience of these conversations 7 years, I think it was 7 years, after visiting Petra. So yes. I'm curious, did you have any idea of the power of that sacred place when you were there?
The power of the site, you mean?
Yes. When you were there, did you feel anything when you were there?
Yes, I did, but I didn't know how to interpret it. I didn't realize that I was sensing subtle energies until she told me so as I went through the entranceway, which is featured on the cover of the book, the end of the canyon where you come into the city. There was this sensation of what I thought were air currents, yet everything seemed so still. And there were no plants and no breezes going through the canyon, and yet it felt that way. And then I remember that when I went up to this altar place, this is on top of a mountain, and it's known, the mountain is known as the Atuf Ridge, and there is a ceremonial center carved right into the mountain where you could see that people could sit. And there's an altar there, and it has not become very much eroded. It's quite a high climb. And I remember standing up there and feeling, I don't know how to describe the sensation. It was almost like a ringing sound in my ears, which I couldn't explain. And I explained it away by saying it must have been that it was such a steep climb that my ears are ringing. Well, I've never had that happen before. And I realized much later that that was probably part of the sensation of experiencing not just the height, but the power of that place, the energetic power of that place, because what I later learned from the presence with whom I speak in the book, she identified herself as the goddess, she said, told me that Petra is presently the primary cosmic PowerPoint on Earth, and that it was initiating a new planetary cycle. And it, as a PowerPoint, it was ushering in a new reality in our planet's evolution. And she then predicted, this was in 1981, that in this new cycle, the divine feminine will reemerge and come into prominence, even in our time, which at the time was hard for me to believe because I didn't see any evidence of that around. You know, that was quite some time ago. And then she said, along with that reemergence of the divine feminine, a shift was already happening, beginning to happen, in that we would be moving away from an old paradigm for living to a new paradigm for living. And as you said in the introduction, we're experiencing accelerated change now. It would be hard not to notice it. But at that time, where was the evidence, you know?
Yes, so, 1981. Yeah, that's quite a ways ago. And we were, things have changed a lot since then. So,
yes.
So I'm curious, too, because sometimes people go to these places and they don't feel anything, or they feel the power of it. But why do you think you were chosen to, you know, because this presence came to you 7 years later? Do you think?
Yes.
How do you?
I don't know how, you know, I don't know how to explain that. I remember saying to her, which I didn't include in the book, why are you talking to me? And her response was, why not you? So, you know, what can you say to that?
Yeah, that's true. Why do we question the goddess? Of, you know, she can talk to who she wants to talk to. But it's curious, you know, like I would ask myself, like, gee, what's in it for me? Why, what am I to do with this? And obviously you're the carrier of this message. And just looking at the picture, and I read your book quite a while ago, and I was just perusing it again this week, and, you know, it really makes me want to go to Petra.
I hope it does, because I think you will be, if you're like other people who've told me they've been there, they all found it quite astonishing. Just the sheer, the physical sight itself is quite astounding. I don't think there are places like it. Carved right into the cliffs of the place are facades of buildings, and there are also spaces that were obviously chambers where people had lived, because you can see, at least at that time, I could see that there were steps ascending up to these places. It was like they were homes, but the street was not a flat city street as we know it. Your street, if you were living there, would be up those steps. And even today, the people whom are sometimes called the Bedou, they're Bedouin people, there are a few of them left, they have seasonal migrations within their territory in which they live in these caves. It's interesting to know.
Oh wow! So they're allowed to do that. That's interesting.
Well, they have been. Petra is bigger than you might think. It was a city of about 30,000 people, and there are caves in what I suppose you could call them cave suburbs or something like that. I don't know what to call them, and I think they live in those where the places where it's much more difficult to travel to. So
yes.
Not many tourists would be going that far away from the main attraction, so to speak.
Yeah, so when you enter that canyon, it's much bigger than you get a sense from this photo, then. It really goes into a big place.
Yes, that's the side you're looking at there, which is a Greco-Roman Nabataean thing, sculpture, is 90 feet high. And the walls of the canyon are 300 feet high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite impressive.
Yes.
So how about others tapping into, has anybody contacted you that they've tapped into this energy too, or this presence, or?
They didn't say anything about a presence, but I think it was like they just said the experience of being there was powerful for them. Someone who went on a trip with Jean Houston and Peggy Rubin to Egypt, and then they added Petra on. More than one person said it was a powerful place to visit. I think they may have meant more than just the physical, the visual impression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Being able to feel that power of that place.
I think they were sensing it each in his or her own way. For me, it was I didn't realize until the presence told me what I was experiencing. I didn't realize that I was experiencing in my body subtle energies. I was aware of it, but I didn't know what to call it because I had never thought of myself as being a person who would experience subtle energies, you know.
So yeah, and it was something.
Yes, it's easy to dismiss what how the earth is speaking to you.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with it, you that was totally new to you. You wouldn't necessarily know. Yeah, how?
No.
How can you define that? Well, you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We're going to take a quick break, and we come back, we'll talk more with Dorothy Atala.
The world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The In Search of the Miraculous 3-day workshop at the Omega Institute from July 29th to the 31st can change your life. Learn how to identify and erase your unconscious programs. Experience the quick and profound results of the revolutionary self-healing Dalian method. And fast forward your healing journey into consciousness with direct individual guidance from Mata. To register for this life-changing workshop with Eliza Mata Dalian at the Omega Institute, visit the calendar of events at DalianMethod.com.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to City SolveUrbanRace.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, eyes and shining sister light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, that's a perfect song for this show today. That's Lorraine Bayes singing Woman of Wisdom, our theme for our conference. And it's in our Woman of Wisdom CD that you can get from our website at www.womenofwisdom.org. So I'm talking to Dorothy Atala, and we're talking about conversations with the goddess and her experience at Petra, very powerful place. And I want to go on now, Dorothy, and talk about in the book, and this is the goddess speaking this, about the new birth of the next 26,000-year cycle. So that's sort of like the Mayan calendar. It seems like we talk about this 26,000 years. It's supposed to end sometime this year. Some people say 2012. Some people say it was already starting in 2011. I don't know. But she talks about that there will be a new reality of the feminine. It's not going to be the same. Because one of the fears is, well, you're just going to go back, take, you know, won't be patriarchy. We'll go to matriarchy. And no. And she's saying it's not going to be the same. So how do you see this new reality? Did she give you any inklings on that?
Well, my understanding was that women will become agents for planetary change, but that hierarchical kind of thing that has been so detrimental to women, there's not going to be some kind of a reversal in which women will rule in a hierarchical way. They'll be more like seed persons whose feminine energy becomes a touchstone for the emergence of the new reality. But it will be humanity is the divine child that is being given birth to by the divine mother. And now the presence spoke in metaphors at first, which were took a lot of thinking about on my part, because I think the metaphors about the way in which she speaks about planetary evolution is in terms of birth from the divine mother, and it's very appropriate, but requires some thought. But humanity is the divine child. It doesn't refer to the divine feminine being the child. It is more that the essence of the divine feminine, the qualities of the divine feminine, will be potent in affecting planetary change. I hope I'm being clear about that. conflict.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is that we're going to play an important role. We're going to be equals yes. partners in this, and important.
Yes, exactly. And but we will. As feminine essence, if you will, or feminine qualities of women, will become an important touchstone, because we have gone so far in one direction that for a while, I think she said, the feminine will have to be prominent in order for balance between the feminine and the masculine to be reestablished. And I don't know what the reality is, will be beyond that. I don't know everything about the direction that this is taking us in, because I think it's going to be defined by so many people. That it's up to all of us. But she, you were speaking about the dark feminine, wondering what that was about. She speaks of that first in I think it was in the third chapter. And one of the things she's building up to is that the masculine principle, as we have defined it, as we have known it and defined it, has become disconnected from Earth. And when she speaks of the dark feminine, she's referring to Earth. But she's also referring to something larger, which is the primordial feminine, as she calls it. And that is related to, what do we want to say? That which gives birth to everything, all of the galaxies, all the universes. So another reason that she used the word the dark feminine was, first of all, the dark feminine had, until recently, become was the repressed and unconscious feminine. But unconscious means that in the way that Eric Neumann and Jung talked about the unconscious parts of us that we dissociate from, we repress them. And Eric Neumann saw that happening in when it came to what he called the Great Mother archetype. So the primordial feminine has been consistently perceived as the dark unconscious from which consciousness arose. But she wanted to say that it's been consistently perceived as dark for more than one reasons other than the hierarchical nature of the dualism that we have lived within and been familiar with, that is fundamental to our cultural mythology about the place of the masculine and the feminine, man, woman, and so on.
So you're referring to dualism as the masculine, feminine,
yes,
man, woman, yin, yang, all that.
Yes. The primordial feminine was perceived as dark for more than one reason, she said. First of all, and this was true at the time that I got this information, it was repressed. Okay. Repressed in humanity, even in women themselves, and in men. That's how I understood it. But it has been perceived as dark, as unconscious, because it is primal, prior to its manifestations. The primordial feminine is that which gives birth to all manifestations. And then she said another reason for the equation of the dark feminine with the unconscious is the devaluation of the Typhon. Now, that is a word that Ken Wilber used, and really he's talking about his version of what early man was about. let's just say, for the sake of simplicity, that this is nature, instincts, emotions, and the body self. And that was that became repressed, and humanity became dissociated from that. What she's saying is that the masculine evolved in a way that meant that it was disconnected from Earth. And we've all had that. I mean, we know intuitively that the body has gotten a bad rap. In, if you want, let's put it this way, in terms of how we perceive it, have perceived it as next in relation to the intellect. The mind has been so prized, you know, and the body has just it has just carried it along. I think there's a popular saying that she or he is just living in her or his head. I think that expresses it, that kind of dissociation.
Yeah, the dissociation.
Yeah.
And there's lots of reasons for that. People not wanting to be in their body, or, you know, the from whatever, emotional pain, physical pain.
Yeah.
We all, in fact, some people even leave their head. They totally leave their body. But there is that separation. And that was one of the things I think you talked about, was that she related herself, the goddess, the presence that you talked to, as being Earth. As a feminine being, Earth. So this kind of relates to what you're talking about. Of,
very much so, yes.
Because, we're made of material. We go back to the Earth and, well.
Yes.
It's all recycled.
And so she's dealing with all of those things. But she then gets into the quality of energy which the primal matrix of Earth emits. And she speaks about that in relation to the chakra system in both men and women, I would say. And she says another reason that the primordial, the feminine, has been unconsciously perceived as dark is because the energy of the root chakra is of a lower vibrational frequency. And then she said, now that's, you're getting into something that's known to clairvoyants, persons who are able to see the energy bodies of life forms, and they can see the slower vibration and movement that has a darker quality. Not a bad quality, but let's say it's earthy, an earthy quality, like the darkness of earth soil, perhaps.
Yes, well, this is all.
Yeah, so she got into that. And so, and she went on, there are other things she said about the dark feminine, things that I had, would never have thought of at all.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to come back to that. Dorothy, we're going to have to take a break right now. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Dorothy Atala.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light for a Spiritual and Healing Journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stanis on Voices of Women, and we're talking with Dorothy Atala. So we've been talking a lot about the dark feminine, and that's that unconscious and the repressed, and we certainly have been living that the last, well, I don't know, how long would you say, Dorothy? I guess 5,000 years or so that it's been repressed,
yeah.
And it's starting to come alive now. You know, women are doing lots of things out there, and we're discovering the feminine, and you understand the importance of that work. So we're also dealing with, you had a lot in the book about discussions of the masculine and the feminine and how we're different and what we're truly meant to, you know, that's that duality, but how are we to move forward with all, you know, with the feminine, and how will that affect the masculine?
Yes, let's go back to what this dualism has been about. We've associated man, the masculine, with mind, spirit, culture, and light. And then woman has been associated with body, instinct, nature, and the dark. So what she wanted to undo in the book through the conversation was to explain that basically there is no split between the light and the dark such as we have perceived it, and certainly not the kind of hierarchical dominance of the masculine as superior to the feminine. That is to say, man, mind, spirit, culture, and light are not superior to woman, body, instinct, and nature, and the dark. So she goes on to explain how the body is spirit. And one of the ways that was significant for me that certainly changed my mindset about living in a feminine body was she explained that there are meta patterns that are sources of feminine power that, in fact, are just as spiritual. That make our body just as spiritual as it is physical. I had learned that every transformation in my body was biology. You know, that saying, biology is destiny, which I fought against a great deal in my mind, but I didn't find any solution to it. And she talks about the transformational mysteries of woman in and our bodies, and explains how our psyches and bodies go through what is a spiritual process, spiritual transformation, not just biological changes. And one of the things that mattered a lot to me was when she talked about the womb zone of the body, I was really startled when she said that it's more than a biological container for a developing fetus. That's actually a central force in our own development, women's development, that it was a central force in the development of not just our female body, but also our feminine psyche. And she said, this was new to me then, and I think it will be to some others who read the book. She said the womb center is a living center of consciousness from which a woman's psyche derives nourishment and a form of its own. Now, it was startling to me because up to that point, I'd always associated the word consciousness only with my head and my thinking mind. But what she was doing was bridging that split between body and spirit that I think so many women who were like myself experienced, you know? Language and thought and the way they go together can have that kind of effect. So that helped a lot. We don't have time to go through the different aspects of the transformational mysteries as she discussed them, but the most important thing to me was, the most startling thing was when she said that the womb zone of women is actually a central force in her own development.
And it's a part of our body that we have often rejected. I mean, that whole lower part is, we don't pay attention to that. And there's this big disconnect that you're talking about, the split of this, you know, and it's actually all one. We're one big organism. So, and we can't, if we disregard one aspect of our body, we're not living wholly. It's going to affect our health. It's going to affect our emotional health, our physical health, and our mental health if we're not, don't have those connections.
Yes. And that is the nature of the repression of the dark feminine. And the other thing she said was that men, it wasn't just women who experienced this kind of disconnection, that men did too, because the body itself, whether you're a female form or that matter itself and the body got a bad rap way back when. And I remember realizing something like this when I studied the history of ideas, but I didn't know how to express my uneasiness about it then. That was long ago, back in college.
Yeah, well, you even shared in the book your deep feelings from childhood. There was confusion, undercurrent of sadness, sense of anger and injustice, and you realized at a young age that females were less valued than males. Now, a lot of times we feel that, but haven't known that. I think it was much later in my years that I was consciously aware of that. I think I emotionally was, but I wouldn't acknowledge that. So you talk about that being a conflicting view of your mind and your body. And so how has that changed with your encounter with the goddess now? How has that changed within you?
I don't see, when she talked about what the transformational mysteries of for women is really about, I understood that she was mending that split between mind and body, between spirit and body that so many of us women have experienced, whether we are able to give voice to it or not. It creates a tremendous unease, whether it's unconscious or even if you're conscious of it. You could be conscious, as I was, that something was off there, but I didn't know how to mend it for myself, you know. And I have a chapter called Mending Dualisms. This is where that conversation begins to lead into her dialogues about that were intended to mend that split in us.
So what can you share with our audience about some steps to do that? Because I'm sure many, many people deal with this and are at a loss.
I think just realize that language and cultural mythology can create that sense of a division within yourself. And I hate to say, read my book. You're not supposed to do that. But I think if reading about the transformational mysteries, as she describes them in the dialogue, does create a bridge between those dissociated or disconnected parts of ourselves that only happens because of the cultural soup that we grow up in, and that, in fact, recognize that what you've been told is not true, and that there is another way to see this and to mend this split in perception.
So I imagine that there's lots of workshops out there and people doing this work, but to do body work, you know, to get in touch with their body,
be
aware of your body would help in that regard of healing that. Because we can always, you can read and read and read, but you kind of have to experience it. You have to own the disconnect, see it, and discover ways that you can explore, making that dualism become oneism. We'll start a new word.
Oneism
of, you know, the spirit and the mind, it is one. And it has been so separated. And there's just so much work here to do. But I think sometimes just doing body work, getting massages, doing physical exercise, there's all sorts of body workers out there that do amazing work. That it's amazing what you get in touch with. When you get in touch with your body, it also releases things in your mind. You become aware of things when your body gets active. So it all relates. Well, this is Chris Stainis. We'll return. We'll continue our conversation with Dorothy Atala.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today. Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat.
and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
So welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I'm talking to Dorothy Atala. Dorothy, can you give your website information?
Yes, my website is www.conversationswiththegoddess.net. I also have a Facebook page with the title Conversations with the Goddess. A lot is going on there.
And you also have your blog that's on your website.
And I have a blog that I write for the Braveheart Women community, and there is access to it through my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went in there. There was some very good writing in there. I really enjoyed reading your blog. And where can people purchase your book?
They can go to Amazon and find it.
Okay.
There.
Everybody knows where that is. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've been discussing there's been a lot of material here and just a lot to take in. We've been talking about the dark feminine. I love the power of the womb. That womb, she's talking about the womb center and that being a living center of consciousness for us. And I really encourage people to focus on that. Like, what is your womb telling you? You know, the wisdom that's in your womb, I would imagine. So one of the aspects, too, that you talk about in your book is people being afraid of the goddess.
Yes. One of the things that she emphasized was there were certain, she pointed out to me that people were still afraid of the goddess because of ancient misperceptions. And I wondered what she meant. And she said, I'm referring to sacrifice, human sacrifice. And I thought, oh, yikes, you know. I would be afraid of any goddess, too, who required that. And what she wanted people to know is that fear is alive in the collective conscious, even whether we're aware of it or not. And we moderns are appalled by the idea of sacrifice. And she acknowledged, she said, yes, ancient humans did sacrifice to the great mother goddess at times. But she wanted everyone to know that this idea was a human creation. It was not an idea that the divine mother goddess entertained. She never required literal sacrifice of human life, such as I witnessed in one extended scene that occurred in, I remember that was in Mesopotamia. She said that ancient humanity took the concept of sacrifice too literally, and they meant well, and she did not judge them, she said, but they missed the higher meaning of sacrifice, which is surrender to service on behalf of life. When we understand that concept better now than was understood then. And also, there was the belief that bloodletting, blood carried life force energy that somehow was connected with renewal of the earth when the earth appeared to be endangered. So it was a way of assisting earth. This was an ancient perception. And I had not believed that human sacrifice actually happened, but if you want me to tell it, there was one scene that I saw that happened where a young couple, who they were chosen to be replacements for other people, and they didn't have any say in the matter, apparently. The priest chose them. I saw them climbing up a ziggurat. On top there was this little pavilion that had a reed bed in it, where they were supposed to consummate sacred marriage. And then I saw that there were people camping around the ziggurat for this event. And I also saw that the land was extremely dry, very arid, no green whatsoever. And I wondered about it. But then in the morning, the priests escorted them down the ziggurat, and they seated them on these little stools next to each other, and I saw that the couple was, they had tears running down their face. And to make this brief, the priest did a ritual. They had a garrote, you know, from behind they strangled them, and then they immediately slit their throats, and their blood went on the land. And the reason for this was, this was not a usual thing. It only, these things occurred when there was, when Earth was in extreme danger, and so were people. And they, there had been something like a 7-year drought, so there was desperation to renew the Earth. And the sacred marriage was associated with renewal and sexuality. And I'm not sure that I could follow the ancient mind on that, but apparently they did believe that.
So what did the goddess show you in that, you that scene? What was she trying to point out to you?
She was trying to show me the horror of it and to show me that this, we think in terms of this happening in the ancient past. What she pointed out after she showed me this scene was that these events are still alive in the collective mind, and that they still continue to influence us, and they continue to make us fear her. And she wants to dispel that fear by showing that she never required this kind of sacrifice. The idea is to make what has been unconscious conscious. In other words, if you know that this occurred because of a misperception, a misinterpretation in the ancient world, then it cannot continue to haunt us. It's like when you, it's like going into therapy. What, you make the unconscious conscious, right? And then you're
yes.
no longer the feeling level that goes with that dissipates when you realize it's not real for you.
Yes, well, that's fascinating, and I think people, it's interesting to know that that is still in our collective consciousness, and so to be aware of that, so she's passing on this information of, yeah, there is a lot of misconceptions and interpretations that, you know, you read about that, you know, that isn't what God or Goddess meant. So it's been great to have you today, Dorothy. I appreciate you coming on my show. And I want to leave everybody with this thought today, to tune to your divine feminine within and see how you can express her in your daily life. See where you stop yourself from this expression and ask yourself why. What am I afraid of? So it's time, woman. Let's show the way. This is Chris Stainis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. And you can purchase that at www.womenofwisdom.org, which helps the organization, as we're a nonprofit foundation. You can sign up for our monthly newsletter on our website also and find out about our monthly events and also our upcoming conference would be our 20th year on February 16th to the 20th in 2012. And our deadline's coming up soon if you're interested in presenting a workshop at Women of Wisdom. It's August 1st. If you need a little extra time, a little extension, email us at wow@womenofwisdom.org, which you can get all the documents and information on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. So thank you for tuning in to Voices Woman. Next week, my guest is Vicki Noble. So have a great weekend, everyone.
Been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.